Okay, good evening. And if you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Romans, and we are going to be continuing our studies here in the 9th and going into the 10th chapter. And I'm going to kind of pull it down a gear, pump the brakes, or whatever you want to. I'm going to slow down and go back and look at a couple things here to kind of make sure we're standing on the right groundwork before we go into this Paul and his explanation of his Jewish brethren. And how it relates to everything else the Apostle Paul has taught us so far in this book of Romans. And I'm going to back up then to verse 30 in the 9th chapter. And let's see here. Do I want to do that or I want to go further back? Yeah, that's fine. So here in verse 30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, now, why is he saying here the Gentiles followed not after righteousness? Well, the Gentiles were never under law, okay? The nation of Israel were put under a covenant of law. Well, actually, let's put it this way. This is how it happened. They freely entered into a covenant of law with our Lord when they were given the law from the mount in the wilderness of Arabia, and they said, all the Lord our God has spoken, we will do. What they should have said, by looking into themselves a little bit and what they were, was all the Lord our God has spoken, there's no chance in hell. Or, as my dad used to say, a snowball's chance in hell at keeping the law. Okay? Pardon the rude speech there, but every now and then you got to spice it up. Okay? We look at ourselves. The nation of Israel are made of the same mud that we're made of. You know, we're born how? Dead in trespasses and in sin. We read that over in Ephesians chapter 2. So, do we have the capacity to keep the law? Does any man have the capacity to keep the law? No, we're all born as children of Adam, so therefore we all are born exactly alike in that we each and every one of us, man, woman, black, white, nationality doesn't matter, characteristics of personality doesn't matter, none of these things matter. We're all born dead in trespasses and in sin, and so therefore there's not a just man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous, no, not a single one. Okay? The scriptures are very clear and establish that many, many times. And so he says in verse 30 again, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of what? Of faith. Okay? So what is this righteousness which is of faith? Well, without faith, or without believing that what God has said and done is so, it's impossible to please God, and so therefore it can never be accounted unto us for righteousness, which is what we receive after God is pleased with us by believing him, in what? The person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf, okay? Or God's saving work upon the cross of Calvary, all right? We enter into that by faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. The law could never make the comer perfect. Okay, why? Because the law was a schoolmaster. It was designed as a diagnostic tool to show the sinner exactly what he was. Let's go back to Galatians one more time. Galatians chapter 3. I don't mind going back here frequently. I want you guys to understand the book of Galatians so well that you can recite it in your sleep.
Let's go forward to Galatians.
Yeah, well, technically it's forward. I should have said, let's return to the book of Galatians. There we go, John. Are you happy now? Okay, let me bookmark my spot here in Romans.
Did you find it?
I did.
We're looking for you.
Galatians chapter 3. And I'm going to read Paul's interaction with Peter here first. Now, this is chapter 2. I'll go all the way back to chapter 2, verse 12. Now, this was immediately after Paul and Barnabas returned from the first missionary journey. What did they do on their first missionary journey? They preached the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from the deeds of the law. They preached that Christ died for the sins of everyone they preached to, just like we preach, okay? died for their sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And because he lives, they shall live also just like us, in that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed them, all the Gentiles and Jews they preached to, just like it has us, from all sin. Okay? So, salvation by grace through faith, apart from the deeds of the law. But before that certain came from James, let's read verse 11 so we know what we're talking about here. But when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. So he returned to Antioch. Peter came from Jerusalem, okay, where he was ministering to the Jews, to meet the Apostle Paul upon his return from his first missionary journey. And he had to withstand him to the face because he was to be blamed. Okay, so we'll read how it played out here. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Now, why did he fear them which were of the circumcision? Because, and we read about this, where James and the Jews that were ministering in Jerusalem were still observing Judaic law, even though they had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, what was the problem there? Of course, the law is a ministry of condemnation and death. It's a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. We're going to read that here in a minute. Okay, but you have to understand, the Jews had to grow out of what was pounded into their heads from childhood. Okay, just like I had to grow out of the idea that the natural man's idea of what Christianity is, and that we have to do good to get good. So I thought immediately after trusting Christ as my Savior, that somehow I had to live this godly life. And I realized that I was the same dirty, rotten sinner that I was at the moment I trusted Christ as my Savior, after I had trusted Christ as my Savior. Okay? I had not, the vessel hadn't changed. All right? My position with my Lord Jesus Christ changed. I was now accepted in the Beloved based upon a look of faith to the cross of Calvary. That's all that happened. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I expressed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he saved my soul. Okay? So, where was my life? Well, from God's perspective, my life was under the blood, never to be remembered against me again. Okay? So any kind of feigned attempt at keeping the law to please God, God wasn't even looking at. And so the Jews had this problem. They were raised under the law. You know, even when our Lord came to Peter in a dream and let down that great sheet from heaven, all right, in his dream, his vision while he was sleeping, on the rooftop. He fell asleep hungry, so what was he dreaming about? He was dreaming about food. So the Lord took the advantage in his dream of a great sheet let down from heaven full of all kinds of unclean animals, that you and I would eat. But a Jew at the time could not eat any of these animals according to Judaic law. So the Lord said to him, what? Rise, Peter, kill and eat. You're hungry, kill him and eat him. Peter said, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. And the Lord had to say this to him three times. And what was the end of the statement? What I have cleansed, the Lord said to Peter, call not thou common or unclean. All right? So, you know, as far as food is concerned, we're not to reject anything, but receive it with thanksgiving and put it in our belly. Now, you know, there's, general rules that we should abide by while eating food, like if you eat sugar 24/7, you're probably going to get a toothache and a bellyache and die of diabetes. diabetes or whatever they call it these days. All right, so you know, if we consume everything upon our lusts, you know, we're going to end up fat, unhealthy, and you know, have all kinds of other problems. Okay, so you know, it's good to follow the old everything in moderation rule. But is everything lawful for us to eat? Sure it is, if it be received with thanksgiving. Okay? Now, what the Lord was telling Peter was that these Gentiles were about to show up, and he had to go preach to them, and the Jews were not supposed to have any kind of communion with a Gentile. But who did the Lord die for? He didn't die only for the nation of Israel. He died for the sins of the whole world. So the gospel had to go to Gentiles, through those that were who were the custodians of the truth at the time, which was technically the 11 apostles plus the apostle Paul, who would later be the apostle to the Gentiles. So the Gentiles had to hear of the gospel, the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did for them on the cross of Calvary, and his high priestly ministry in heaven, where he shed his blood upon the mercy seat, from the mouth of a Jew. All right? And of course, we see the salvation of a bunch of Gentiles in the household of Cornelius, and Peter sees the reason before the vision. Okay? So, what the Lord has cleansed, call not thou common or unclean. So, Peter had to grow into these things through the hearing of the word of God. Now, back then, the Lord had personal interaction with the disciples. Now we have a completed, revelation in the word of God, so the Lord doesn't need to come to us in visions and that kind of thing. The word of God's already been written. So how does the Lord bear witness with us as believers in Jesus Christ in this age? He speaks to us through his spirit. Okay? His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're his. If you have an understanding of these things, if you understand Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you were born into the world dead in trespasses and sin, your Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, in the blood of Jesus Christ you have a cleansing of all sin, so that your sins and iniquity shall never be remembered against you again, and you have a heavenly inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, and fades not away. If you understand all those things, that's evidence that you're indwelled by the Spirit of God. Okay? Because the natural man cannot receive those things. Only the spiritual man can. Okay? So, we can't fault Peter, James, all these various Jewish apostles for not getting on board with all of these very basic doctrines that we understand and know. I mean, we've been well taught over the years. We had to grow into these things at one point in time too, you and I. Okay? Same with Peter, same with James, and the rest of the apostles. They had to grow up in these things as well. So eventually they dumped the Jewish doctrine and fully understood what grace was. Grace is unmerited or undeserved favor. And we cannot make ourselves righteous by any kind of performance before the law, because we're unrighteous vessels. Okay? In me, as is in you, is what? No good thing. You will be able to perform that which is good when you're raised, glorified, and adopted. That's through the resurrection. At that point in time, you're going to be clothed upon with your heavenly body, and you'll have lost this blood that you have within you, which carries your sin nature. Okay? You and I are going to be sustained by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the ceaseless ages of eternity. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we are given an example. When our Lord Jesus Christ appeared unto the 120 in the upper room, he came in basically through the wall. Okay? It was locked for fear of the Jews. All right? They didn't want to be taken into custody by the Jews that were looking for any kind of Christian uprising. All right? So our Lord appeared in their midst. And they were afraid of his appearance because the place was locked. And so they were like, how the heck did you get in here? Plus, we just saw you die on the cross. All right? Well, he's God. All right? He spent 3 days and three nights in the grave, and now he's alive again. All right? So he said, handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. Where was his blood? His blood was sustaining our life upon the mercy seat for the ceaseless ages of eternity. Okay? So what's going to be left here when we hear that trumpet sound and the dead in Christ rise first and we are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air? Probably our clothes, okay, and all this blood. All right, the blood, there's going to be a pile of bloody clothes. We're going to be resurrected, clothed upon with the white raiment of the Lord, which represents his eternal righteousness, and we'll be sustained by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the ceaseless ages of eternity. Okay? So all these things come full circle. Now, here in Galatians, when Peter was come to Antioch to visit Paul, Paul said he had to withstand him to the face because he was to be blamed. Well, what went down? For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. Okay? So, Peter knows what salvation by grace through faith is. All right? But when they were come, that is his Jewish brethren from Jerusalem, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He didn't want to be judged by the other Jews for eating with Gentiles, even though they all understood that Jesus Christ was their Savior, and they're not made fit for God's presence by the life that they lived through the law. So, they kind of, the carnal side of them, so to speak, took over. Now, every single one of us as believers in Jesus Christ have two different persons living within us. We're a dichotomy of personalities when we're believers in Jesus Christ. We have the earthly side of us, okay, and we have the spiritual side of us. And, you know, sometimes we can operate in the spiritual, and sometimes we can operate in the carnal. It just depends on which one you say sick 'em to, you know. Brother Stewart used to tell a story about an Indian who got saved, and he described his salvation. He said it's like a black dog and a white dog, and they're both fighting all the time, all right? And so he says, well, which one wins? He says, well, whichever one I say sick 'em to. You know? So we can operate according to the truth of the Word of God, or we can go out there and run roughshod in the world as much as we want to, and sometimes we do. You know? So a believer in Jesus Christ is supposed to operate according to thus saith the Lord, and the Lord knows we're not always going to be obedient, just like our own children are not always obedient. But when they grow and mature, as we're supposed to grow and mature in the Word, they become more and more faithful as they grow. So he says here, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas, if you recall at the beginning of the message, I said Paul and Barnabas had just got back from their first missionary journey. They were preaching salvation by grace through faith apart from the deeds of the law for years and now had just returned. Okay? So this is supposed to be a victory lap for them. But yet they're acting like they're Jews under the law just like they always had before. Okay, it was an act. So Barnabas dissembled likewise and got carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, what's the gospel? The good news about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf, how he died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And we have eternal life in him, not by works of the law. Okay? So they weren't walking according to what they believed. I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentile to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall what? No flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Well, God forbid, or may it never be. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a what? Transgressor. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul did to himself in the seventh chapter of the book of Romans. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God that I'm already delivered. Okay? He put himself back under law as a Jew, and he found that the law does its job every single time. Why? Because we fail before the law every single time. The things that he would do, he didn't do. The things that he wanted to do, or did do. Let's go back and read it since I'm like Pastor Andre. If I don't quote it right, it's not going to come out right. All right, let's go back to Romans chapter 7 real quick. Hold your spot there in Galatians. Chapter 7, verse 9. Paul says, for I was alive without the law once. Okay, well, that was when he realized that Jesus Christ had died for his sins. In that he was no longer under the law. The Lord took care of the law for him. So he was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, the sin revived, or his nature to want to put himself before the law and fulfill it. Okay? Justification by the works of his own hands revived, and he what? Died. The law kicked his butt once more. Okay? And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Now, what's wrong with the law? Nothing. It's good and right and holy. It's ordained unto life. Problem is, you and I couldn't fulfill it. We had to have our Lord do that for us. Okay? That's why the Apostle Paul, like us, find it to be ordained unto death. Because we're the ones that are the problem with the law. We have a sin nature. Okay? So it's natural for us to be disobedient or outlaws concerning the law. For the sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? Well, God forbid. But the sin, goes all the way back to the sin of Adam. And in Adam, what happens? All die. Why? Because we're all guilty of Adam's sin, and we all have Adam's sin nature. Okay? That it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that the sin by the commandment might become what? Obvious, exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am what? Carnal, sold under the sin. Okay? He's a captor to his sin nature. That's what he's saying there. For that which I do, I allow not. So, you know, you have sinful thoughts, you have sinful actions. Well, you probably don't like it that you do those things. So that which you do and think, you allow not. All right? So Paul had the same experience. For what I would, that do I not, or what I want to do, I don't do that. That's what he's saying. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law, then it's good. So every now and then we get a win. Okay? Now then, it is no more I that do it, but the sin, or his sin nature, that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, you know, once we mature a little bit in the world and realize, you know, what kind of works in our benefit and what doesn't work in our benefit, we may run to a certain lesser degree of riot than we formerly ran to. It's like this morning I was explaining, you know, not a lot of guys do this because they think it looks weird. But I like to treat women really well, okay? I think it's proper for a man to do so. So if I'm going into a door and I realize there's a woman coming and going to the same door and she's, you know, 30 yards behind me, I will wait at that door and open it for her as, you know, when she comes to the door. Now, in modern, I can do it myself sort of silly self-righteousness is really what it is, you know. Some people might think it's foolish, but I don't. So I think chivalry is a proper thing for a man to do and to be a strong, you know, I want to be a killer and be able to control myself, you know, a strong, capable man. And in that, we, you know, I'm not a killer, but I'll kill if I have to, okay? Especially if somebody threatens my family, you know. That's a good thing for a man to be. So all these things are good things to live by, but we kind of grow into these things as we mature. Now, do I have still have the same nature in mind that I had when I was 16 years old with all kinds of stupid thoughts? Of course I do. I still want to play with G.I. Joes sometimes. Sometimes you have one of those days where, you know, you'd rather just go into the backyard and dig a hole. when those days that, you know, those days that don't go so good for you, you know. So, you know, I have this sin nature, but as we mature, just like we grow in the things of the Lord and understand things about ourselves, what works, what doesn't work, we may run to a lesser degree of riot than we formerly ran to. Okay? It's called will worship, and it has nothing to do with our relationship with God. Okay? It's just the sign of a maturity. Now, I may not tell someone, I'm going to use the vernacular, but I'll use the first letter, F you. But in my mind, I'm saying it to them. So is it my nature to be kind of raucous sometimes? Yeah, it is. It's in my mind. But I've learned enough about the results of that that I may not let it exit my mouth. Okay? So the sin is present within me. But sometimes I'm able to control myself. So, you know, that's what Paul says here. When he does good, he consents unto the law that it's good. But how to do that which is perfect, basically, is what he's saying he finds out. Okay? So, he goes on here. In his flesh dwelleth no good thing. In our flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to be to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now it is no more I that do it. But now, if I read the verse right, that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin or his sin nature that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, okay, a consistency, that when I would do good, the evil is present with me. So what's the value of our good? If the evil is present with us while we're doing good, it's valueless, okay? I can't offer it to God, right? For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, or the spiritual man, okay? But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of the sin which is in my members. So what's the conclusion here? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. He's saying I've already been delivered. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Okay. Now, this is one of those places where the chapter division shouldn't have been, because we have the conclusion of the matter here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Now, what is the flesh? Operating according to law works, but after what? The Spirit of truth. Okay? So let's go over to Galatians once more. Galatians chapter 2. And I keep flipping right by it. Here we go. Okay, so Paul says, where did we stop here? Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall what? No flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Well, God forbid, or may it never be. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make what? Myself a transgressor. Paul's saying this through personal experience, just like we read over in Romans chapter 7. For I, through the law, am what? Dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Through the law, he became dead to the law because he brought himself. If the apostle Paul was the rich young ruler, and the Lord showed him that he was covetous, and he took up his curse, which came upon him when he realized that he was covetous, because he was a lawbreaker, okay, cursed by the law, okay, and he followed Jesus Christ for salvation, the law is what led him to Christ as a schoolmaster to bring him to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And so he says, here I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Okay? It can't be mixed with anything else. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died uselessly. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Which one is it? Has to be by the hearing of faith, because we can't be justified by the law. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So Paul here equates operating according to law works in the as being in the flesh, and we cannot please God in the flesh, or we cannot please God according to law works. So let's go down to verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now who's that? How many of us is that? All of us. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. No, not one. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it's evident. What's the evidence of that? Just look at ourselves. We're the evidence of it. For the just shall live how? By faith. And the law is not of faith. but the man that doeth them shall live in them. And so, if you're going to be justified by law, you better live right every moment of every day. So, once you realize that that's not going to work, Christ has done what? Redeemed us, or paid for us, paid the price that was necessary to please God that we couldn't possibly pay. He's redeemed us, or bought us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Our Lord said, as he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, or my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, why was he saying that? Because your sin, every single one of us in this room, your sin and my sin, and every other person in the world, all of their sin was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ at that moment in time, as if the Lord Jesus Christ himself was the committer of all that sin, and we had not committed a single one. Okay? So he died for and with the sins of the whole world. Okay? That's why our Lord said that. And so he took all of our sin to the cross of Calvary and was made a curse for you and I, so the price for sin could be paid. That the blessing of Abraham. Now, what was the blessing of Abraham? It was the promise of God to Abraham that all the children or all the families of the earth should be blessed. In what? Abraham's seed. Okay? We're not talking about seeds as of many, but under thy seed, or one seed, which is Christ. Okay? Jesus Christ is the blessing to the whole world, and everybody can receive that blessing if they enter into it by faith. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak of after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man annulleth. Okay, that's the way it should have been translated. Greek has double negatives. Or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and to his seed where the promise is made, he saith, he saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is who? Christ. He's the promise that was made to Abraham. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot annul or change it, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. So wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of us, the failures before the law, sin, okay? Added because of transgressions. Till what? The answer for the problem came. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the seed, should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Well, God forbid, or may it never be. For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded what? All under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that do what? Simply believe. But before that the faith came, the body of revealed truth concerning Jesus Christ and his person and work, we are kept under the law, locked or shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was what? A schoolmaster. This is an epaidagogos in the Greek. That's an attendant slave responsible for the rearing of the children in the ways of the world. Okay? So the law was our schoolmaster, an attendant slave to show us what we were, that we might come to Christ for salvation because, Lord, please save me. I'm not able to perform the law myself. Okay? That's what the law shows us. To bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by what?
Faith.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God, folks. But that after that the faith has come, we are what? No longer under a schoolmaster. Now, there's a proper use for the law. Law is not made for you and I. It's made for those that believe that they're good. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. I did some reading in the Greek here, so this will be kind of interesting. But our Paul gives Timothy the proper use of the law. Now, Timothy was a half-Jew. And Timothy was the Apostle Paul's son in the Lord. And so Paul cared for him very much. There's a tendency amongst the Jews, if you're not raised in an Orthodox Jewish family, it seems like every single Jew eventually wants to explore their Judaism. So they'll start, you know, reading this book and reading that book and going to certain Jewish rites a few times of the year at the synagogue, that kind of thing. Or they may want to take their birthright citizenship tour in Israel, which is afforded to every single Jew. They always become interested in their Judaism. Why? Because Judaism is like a shiny piece of metal that you just can't stop looking at. It's been there forever, and people like ancient things. For some reason, people think that the older the thing is in the world, the better that it is. Well, if it's a lie that's continually perpetuated, and it's just an old lie, what is it still? A lie. Okay. Now, the truth was in Judaism, but the truth in Judaism, through the sacrificial system, pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's been there for all eternity. So he's the oldest thing that there is. All right. If we want to count the Ancient of Days. All right. So Timothy may have been showing some interest in things Jewish. And Paul is trying to set him straight here. Okay. As far as their Judaism is concerned, even though Timothy's a half-Jew, Paul was his Jewish brethren, or, you know, his brother as a Jew. So Paul says here in verse 1, this is Timothy 1:1, 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they do what?
No other doctrine.
Teach no other doctrine. Okay? We were talking about this morning. What does doctrine do? It divides the wheat from the chaff. Okay? Doctrine, doctrine, doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. Okay? It's the principles of the faith. The foundation is Jesus Christ. We learn about Jesus Christ through doctrinal teaching. Okay? So we can't stand on doctrine and then allow that doctrine to be compromised by throwing some more different doctrine on top of it. We have the principles, the fundamentals of the faith clearly laid out in the scripture, and they're not to be argued. Now, the world may not like us for it, because the world always wants to show forth how righteous they are before their God, whom they worship. Okay? But if they worship any God other than the God in the Bible, it's a false God. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So as they try to approach their God by the works of righteousness which they've done, they're really worshiping a false God by doing so. All right? So the world's not going to agree with genuine Christian doctrine because they're not indwelt by the Spirit of God. They're natural. The natural man can't receive it. Okay? So he says here, he's encouraging Timothy to teach no other doctrine, the doctrine of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither give heed to, it says fables, but these are myths. The word in the Greek is mythios, which is what our translation from the Greek there would be in English, would be myths. What are myths? They're false teachings. Okay? Stories. So neither give heed to myths and endless genealogies. Why were the Jews so interested in genealogy? So they could trace their heritage back to Abraham. We be Abraham's seed after all. And God says, oh, good, you're from Abraham. That makes you different than everybody else. You know, I say that often to show how petty these things really are. You know, we did the right dance. We wore the right sweater. We got the right 19-inch tall hat on. Okay? We're related to Abraham. All right? It's ridiculous, and it shows how petty those things really are. Which minister what? Questions. Am I accepted in the beloved, or am I not? How much blood relation do I have to Abraham? There was a Samaritan in our bloodline somewhere. Does that mean that I'm actually an accepted Jew? You know, all these things minister questions. But what do we have in the Lord Jesus Christ? A sound mind. Okay? The Lord is not the author of confusion. So as a believer in Jesus Christ, the Lord has died for my sins, and every one of my sins are under the blood, and I'm exactly accepted in the beloved. Because he lives, I shall live also. There's no questions in that. And the same is true for every single person in the world that has the same faith as I do. Okay? An unfeigned faith. Or a substance driven faith. That substance is Jesus Christ. So he says, neither give heed to fables or myths and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly stewardship. Okay? The word here is a poor translation. Edifying is fine, but it should be stewardship. Godly stewardship is putting forth the truth of the Word of God rightly divided. Okay? Teaching doctrine and foundational principles, which is in faith. And we can skip the so do part because it really doesn't fit anything there. It's in italics. So that means it was added by the translators. Now, the end of the commandment, Paul's talking about his commandment here, or his teaching, the desired outcome of what he's saying. Okay, that's what he's saying. The desired outcome of what I'm saying, I've used an interpolation there, is charity. Now, the word charity here is agape in the Greek. What does agape mean? The love of Christ. Here in his love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation or the covering, the payment for our sins. Okay? So, the desired outcome of his commandment here to Timothy is the love of Christ out of a pure heart. Right? What's a pure heart? A pure heart is It's a believer in Jesus Christ who's been given the gifts to preach the gospel, operating apart from the deeds of the law, according to the foundational principles of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that he died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Okay? And the love of Christ is that we want the same blessing for everyone else, that is the blessing of salvation, that we have received of our Lord Jesus Christ, full and free, apart from the deeds of the law. Okay? So, if you approach things from an unpure heart, you're mixing law and all kinds of other junk with it that don't belong. So the end of the commandment is charity or love of Christ out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of what? Faith unfeigned or a true faith and dwelt by the Spirit of God, from which some have, having swerved, have turned aside unto substanceless speech. Okay? Like the Christian ministers of the world in the age in which we live. I try finding some of them that actually have some substance to their preaching, but they always go back to, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and use the Lord Jesus Christ as an example to do it. Okay? That's substanceless speech. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. Why? Because they don't understand that they're incapable of keeping it. Just like the Jews. See, Judaism has been transferred into the church in that the church now is trying to make itself fit for God's presence by the life that it lives. Okay? Same problem with Judaism as we have right now. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it how? Lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for who? The law is not made for a righteous man. Now, am I a righteous man according to other men? No. Am I a righteous man according to God? Yes. Now, whose word is this? The word of God. God sees me as being righteous as my Lord Jesus Christ is righteous. So I don't need the persuasion of the law any longer. I'm already under the blood. Therefore, the grace of God has already been applied to me, and I am accepted in the blood. Okay? It's been accounted unto me for righteousness, just like it was accounted unto Abraham for righteousness. And it's been accounted unto you for righteousness. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, or for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. What are all those things? Sin. The law was made for sinners. So if somebody believes that they're particularly righteous, what is the law good for? to prove to them that they're not, so they might be found guilty of it. So if somebody says, oh, you're this, but I've fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess, all you got to do is say, hey, buddy, you better go back and read the law and see if you really are doing everything that's in that law. Okay? That's what our Lord did with the rich young ruler. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed, say, did I read verse 10? Yeah, I did. Which was committed unto my trust, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, or into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save who?
Sinners.
Okay?
Whom I am chief.
Who needs a physician but they that are sick? Okay? And what did the Apostle Paul think of himself here? The chiefest of sinners. And if we take a look, a nice deep dive into our personalities and what we think, you'll find yourselves to be the same exact way, just like I do. Okay? So when we see ourselves that way, what does that do? That amplifies the grace of God and increases our faith. You know? So it's not a morose, negative thing to tear us down. It actually builds us up because we realize the precious gift that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord can save the chiefest of sinners, of which, if I'm going to compare myself to the world, I've got to be one of them too. The Lord must be a God of grace. Okay, so Paul says he's the chiefest of sinners. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might be Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe unto him, unto what? Eternal life, or life everlasting. That's what Paul had because of his faith in Christ. That's what we have because of our faith in Christ. And no matter what happens in your life, and I know the churches of the world will blaspheme me for saying this, no matter what we do in our lives, no matter what, we are accepted in the beloved, because our sins are where? Under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and never to be remembered against us again. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you that this grace covers even to the uttermost, because, Lord, we need an uttermost covering for our sin. Each and every one of us, if we take a look at ourselves on the inside, and believers need not do this very often, but every now and then it's good to take a little look to realize how precious the grace of God is. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.